But I've read the gists of the briefing documents that were given.
Exactly. All right, let me introduce you. I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. It's a Thursday, and it's not just any Thursday. It's a Thursday that the Supreme Court of Canada decided to hand down their decision in the Comeau case. Jared Comeau, of course, was the man who was arrested for cases of beer and some booze in his trunk on his way from Quebec back into New Brunswick and was charged. And that led to a Supreme Court ruling this morning. And I have Tony Stewart, the owner of and CEO of Quail's Gate in the Okanagan, who has been at the center of all of this, who probably didn't want to be. But I'm sure, Tony, you enjoyed this this battle. This was quite a tussle. There were some 46 lawyers in the courtroom when this was argued in Ottawa.
Yeah, it's been a long process and expensive process for all the parties involved, unfortunately, a little disappointing with the outcome.
Well, I'm totally disappointed in that there was no sort of halfway in this decision. As you read it, what are the points that jump out at you that just don't make sense?
Well, the ruling itself doesn't make sense because basically what it says is that as long as the measures by a province aren't restricting trade, then the provinces have the right to control goods coming into their province. But this is a huge impediment to trade within Canada. I mean, it's in the world of wine, Canada is one of the few countries that does not allow direct delivery within its own borders. Every other wine region of any significance has that within their country.
The Constitution, I'm a layman, of course. All of the Constitution says in Section 121, all articles of the growth, produce, or manufacture of any of these provinces shall, and after the union, be admitted free into each other's provinces. And that's written a long time ago. So how does that not qualify for, say, wine?
Well, I that is the crux of their decision, which I don't understand really, because really what they're saying is it's a public safety issue, and that the provinces have the right to restrict products for quantity or safety and other things, and direct delivery does not preclude a province from doing that and imposing system which allows for the safe movement of goods that are restricted by age. But the system that we have right now is that if you are trying to sell within a province such as Ontario and you don't have a listing, you have no other way to get in there other than perhaps the consignment program, which would allow a consumer there to buy the product, and it might take 6 months in order to get through to the individual.
Tony, this is just such a disappointment. I mean, I was prepared for a small victory, not a big win. It's because this is the Supreme Court. These are large decisions being made. Does this shut down this movement of direct to consumer? What happens now, do you think?
No, I think it provides clarity because really the court is saying that you can restrict goods provided that it's not a trade restriction. And I think given the nature of where we are today in Canada with so many other issues like what's going on with BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, we really need to be mindful that we are a union and that the country needs to work together to support the industries that are here, and that, battling against one another, restricting access for one province to another is not what Canadians are about. And this gives clarity that, if there's a safety issue or there's a access issue, the provinces have that right, but they do not have the right to restrict trade within Canada. So I think On the only silver lining in this is that there is that decision that says, if this is a decision or a process that's restricting trade, then that's not allowed. So
right.
Now we can go back and say, well, is this restricting trade? Absolutely, it's restricting trade.
And can each province make its own mind up as to how they want to handle this?
Well, no, I think the decision is clear that every province has to do it in a way that's consistent.
Okay.
And that they can't be punitive to someone for trade that they have into one province from another.
One of the ways,
at least that's my interpretation.
Oh, sure.
And again, I'm not a lawyer.
Okay. I will make note, and again, this is a layman's comment, but one of the ways that they can restrict and make it very difficult for wineries to to interact with other provinces is. In the Como case, for example, the government in New Brunswick will mark up their booze as much as 89.8%. They just make it an odious business to deal across provincial borders.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not going to go, or will it go away? Is this going to do anything in terms of the price of wines across the country?
I don't see that at the outset. I mean, I think all this is doing is really, giving some stability to the system that we currently have. It'll be up to the legal minds to kind of go through now and say, okay, well, what have they really said here, and what does this give us the opportunity to do? And then from that, we can start to make some decisions. Certainly, most provinces in the country are opening up with respects to how you can get into the markets. Alberta, British Columbia, Manitoba, Nova Scotia, all provinces that have made significant moves to open up their borders for freer trade. And BC and Manitoba and Nova Scotia do allow Canadians to order product through wineries across the country. And we just hope that that movement will continue.
I wonder, Tony, that journey that I took, as misguided as it may have been when I got in my car and drove to the Alberta border and then on to Banff, hoping that someone would either arrest or charge me or whatever and just see what we could do. Is it any less illegal now for me to do that?
I was going to say there's probably a lot more attention to it now, and given the state of affairs with BC and Alberta, you might not want to do it right away.
maybe hold off a bit.
Yeah exactly. I think one thing that's key here is that, you know, we've got some major issues occurring within the Federation that I think are significant to the values that Canadians hold. And my unfortunate read on this ruling is that it almost goes in that favor where, you know, yeah, the provinces can kind of decide what they want to do on the surface. I think once you get down to it and look at what the courts have said, they're trying to provide some clarity to the matter in terms of trade versus safety. And hopefully that will reinforce the bonds of a free Canada for trade.
My goodness. I lost in all of this, Tony. By the way, my wife said this morning, did you hear that they're going to allow wine in all grocery stores in Vancouver? I haven't read the paper and hadn't turned on anything. Did you hear anything this morning?
Yeah, they've made a ruling to allow that. I haven't got the details on it yet, but I watched the news last night, and they were saying that the city council ruled that wine in grocery stores was going to be permitted. Because before, I think they had a moratorium on it, if I'm not mistaken. So.
And the last question is, and we talk about the wine consumer in all of this, is there anything that the wine consumer can do, even if they don't know that they're doing it? Is there any voice there for the consumer to move this ahead down the road?
Yeah, I think the consumer really has to get active on this because, you know, you think about it, like at the provincial level and at the liquor board level, they'd say there's no real restrictions to anybody getting into the market. And then that's not true. When you're a husband and wife winery making artisan wines, maybe 2,000 cases a year, you can't go through the liquor board system. You're not big enough to handle it. And Canadians across the country want to seek out those artisan craft producers, and they're being restricted to it. So I think the consumer needs to voice their opinion and say, look, this isn't right. You know, if I live in, Alberta and I want to buy a Niagara Pinot Noir that's, less than 100 cases made a year, and I want to order that, I should be allowed to do that. I should be allowed without restriction, without any sort of impediment, and that's not the case.
Thank you, Tony, for doing this. Carry on. I know you're going to be doing a lot of interviews today, but I wanted to hear your voice on all of this. Thank you.
Terry, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, mate.
Bye-bye. Bye.
He is Tony Stewart. He is the CEO and owner of Quail's Gate Winery in the Okanagan, and was kind enough to step forward and speak on behalf of the Gerard Como case, which has been thrown back basically in our faces. And the government bureaucracies who love this pipeline of money coming from our pockets to theirs had their way today in the Supreme Court of Canada. What do you think about it? This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan.